When we were younger, or perhaps as parents, you had gone to visit maybe family members or friends, but maybe some that you didn't see frequently or didn't know very well. And so then as children, you were told, this is how you're going to behave. And I know as a student, we might go out on a trip of some kind, or I know with our youth program, and we've taken our students on events, I have been known to say, this is what is expected of you when you go out and participate. So those words may be familiar to you. And I share those with you because I want to start today by looking back at Deuteronomy to get a perspective for the words of Jesus and his teachings from Luke's Gospel. Moses was preparing the Hebrew people to cross the waters of the Jordan River and then to enter into the Promised Land. This was an epic event. This was important. And so, in a sense, the people are told, this is how you're going to behave. This is what is expected of you when you go into this land. And the foundation then for all that they do is the covenant promises of God that are summarized in the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God and you are to be my people. And these are the type of people you are to be. It's like when you're leaving the house as a teenager and the last thing you're told is remember who you are. And so Moses lists how the people of God are to live, how they are to behave and act in this land. And he does so with the use of imagery of blessings and curses. Now, when Moses speaks of blessings, it's not about a reward, but that the people are blessed so that then they can be a blessing. The people are blessed so they can show others who they are. And to be cursed is not so much punishment, but a result of not being a blessing to others. And so the people of God are to display the nature of God, to be witnesses to the character of God, respond to the blessings of God, and then certainly would stand out. A mother took her 10-year-old son to the photo studio to have a passport picture taken. And so the son was told where to sit and did so obediently. The photo was taken. But then the photographer was a little bit surprised because then the mother took a shirt out of her bag and changed the shirt of the young boy, put him in a different shirt, and asked for another photo to be taken in this other shirt. The photographer was a little bit curious about this and asked, well, why do you want a photo now taken in a different shirt? She says, well, he has an identical twin. And his brother will not sit still for a photograph. And so as we learn about the people we are to be, it is a responsibility of each one of us. It's not something we can pass along to somebody else. It's not something else can take that upon themselves for us. That we are blessed to be a blessing. So in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has now joined the people of Israel in the waters of baptism of the same Jordan River. And in the waters of baptism, there is a renewal of God's covenant with God's people. And now as they have emerged from those waters, Jesus describes what it means to enter this new kingdom. parallel to the ancestors who had entered that new land in that time long ago. And so in the use of the Beatitudes, Jesus uses the language of Scripture of blessings and curses. That Jesus begins with assurances for this new time. Assurances to people of God's covenant. The presence of Jesus is the reassurance of the people years before who heard that promise, I am the Lord your God. And Jesus speaks to the reality of his listeners of that day. The poor who will always be poor. During that era and during that time, most families who were poor did not emerge from poverty. But it went from generation to generation. The hungry, those who will struggle with feeding their hunger, where each and every day there is that uncertainty that they would indeed be fed. Those who weep, those who experience the highest rate of sorrow and sadness, and those who have been excluded, who live on the fringes of society, those who are powerless and those who are abused. In contrast, Jesus speaks of those who have, the rich, the full, those who are laughing, those who are included. Yes, they experience success and pleasure, but that's not a reward to them. They are limited in how they will profit from worldly resources. And the woe to them for not blessing, not being a blessing to others as a result of how they had been blessed. And so Jesus gives assurance. Jesus gives a promise of good fortune of those who enter now the new kingdom. Jesus promotes trust. Jesus is an expression of an absurd and a glorious generosity that God will share. Jesus is a hope that shows the incredible measure of God's grace, that a new life is bursting forth. And a new attitude is to be on display in the heart of his followers, in the heart of the disciples. Jesus shares how God does for his people first, then they are to do for others. Though they may not have much to give, one of the things that you may join with me in being troubled is to observe the climate of our society, of what often motivates. So often it seems that people are motivated with the question of how does this benefit me? What do I get out of it? Now that's okay to a point, I can understand that. It's even okay to a point for a nation or for an individual. There is that self-interest that we have. But the concern that I really have is when that's the only view. What's in it for me? When that's the only perspective, what do I get out of it? What is in my personal best interest? Thinking only of myself. A man was in visiting the doctor, going through tests and examinations. And the doctor sits him down and tells him he's in terrible shape. And so then he shares with the man an extensive list of changes that are necessary for his life. And changes that would be necessary for his family as well to support him. On how they eat and how they exercise and how they interact. And he says, if you don't do these things, you will be dead in 30 days. The man thinks about this for a while and says, can you call my wife and tell her? It'll be more effective with this coming from you. And so when the man gets home, his wife comes out and meets him and gives him a hug. And she says to him, you poor man, you only have a month to live. I think most of you get that. If you don't, what it's telling us is the woman is thinking only of herself. Is not willing to change. Not doing those things that will be a benefit to her husband. And so yes, the concern that I would have is when only is self-interest in play. For it's not okay, this self-interest, when one tries to live in the way of the kingdom that Jesus speaks. It's not okay when there is restriction of what others may have. It's not okay that in order for some people to have, others are excluded or abused or defamed. It's not okay. The follower is a reflection of the leader. We know the type of leader there is by the character of the follower. And we are to be that reflection of Jesus. To embody Jesus. Though we may pale in comparison to Jesus, we would still be recognizable as Jesus' disciple. Do to others that you would have them do to you, Jesus says. Now he shares this expression not only for when we decide to act or when we decide to do something, but he's giving us a command and a challenge. He's calling us to action. Go out and do to others as you would have them do to you. Not when it's convenient. Not when you decide you have the time. But to go out and do to others as you have them do to you. Blessed are you to be this blessing. Amen.